I cannot tell you the loathing and horror with which this insignificant-looking man inspired me. I could see him better now as the lamplight shone upon him. His features were peaky and sallow, and his little pointed beard was thready and ill-nourished. He pushed his face forward as he spoke, and his lip and eyelids were continually twitching like a man with St. Vitus's dance. I could not help thinking that his strange, catchy little laugh was also a symptom of some nervous malady. The terror of his face lay in his eyes, however, steel-grey and glistening coldly with a malignant, inexorable cruelty in their depths. "We shall know if you speak of this," said he. "We have our own means of information. Now, you will find a carriage waiting, and my friend will see you on your way." I was hurried through the hall and into the vehicle, again obtaining that momentary glimpse of trees and a garden. Mr. Latimer followed closely at my heels and took his place opposite to me without a word. In silence, we again drove for an interminable distance with the windows raised, until at last, just after midnight, the carriage pulled up. "You will get down here, Mr. Milas," said my companion. "I am sorry to leave you so far from your house, but there is no alternative. Any attempt upon your part to follow the carriage can only end in injury to yourself."